Voices of VR podcast.
This is Nathan Burba, CEO of Servios. We are doing hardware development, software development, and game development. We really think virtual reality is the next big platform for people, and we're really excited about full motion virtual reality, people actually being able to bring their entire body into something and really feel like they're outside running around, but they're really inside in their living room.
I see. Yeah. So you guys just recently announced within the last couple of days that you got $4 million of funding. Maybe you can talk about, like, what are you guys going to do with all that money now that you have funding? Like, what are you cooking up?
So really, the funding is all about developing new technology, working toward a new product. And we're not announcing anything until 2015, but there's a lot of just really cool technical things we're doing, both, like I said, in software and in hardware, and really just trying to help push virtual reality forward, just trying to follow in the footsteps of great companies like Oculus and Sixth Sense, really just working on very difficult problems.
Yeah, and I've heard of some of the demos that you have in terms of, like, I imagine you're in this room and you're looking around and shooting zombies. Maybe you could sort of describe what that demo is.
Yeah, so when zombies on the holodeck, you actually feel like you're in a roughly 8x8 foot space, and you can walk around just like you would in real life. You can pick up different weapons. There's actually an axe on your back that allows you to fight off zombies as they're actually walking toward you. And it's a really visceral experience. It really feels like you're actually there, and you're able to intuitively move through the world in a way that is completely natural. You know, there's no abstractions, to quote Palmer Luckey. That's the most important thing, is to make it seem like you don't have to learn anything really to be there. You just need to act like a human being would. And that's really what creates a tremendous amount of presence.
I see. And some of the photos I've seen, you have a HMD on, and then you have other different tracking devices. Or what else do you have going on in terms of what you have attached to your body in that?
So the system that we built for Zombies in the Holodeck, there's a number of different pieces of tracking technology. There's some magnetic stuff going on, some optical stuff. There's wearable computer. There's a server. There's, you know, a stationary optical camera. So it's a lot of things that have been designed to give someone the feeling of being somewhere else and being kind of free in that world. And so really right now we're continuing on that and developing new technology to help us push that out to end consumers.
I see. So it sounds like it's much more geared towards, like, a full untethered experience. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, you could say that. And it's basically, you know, when you're tethered, it actually makes you feel, you know, like you're somewhat limited by the system. So the idea is that you don't want someone to remember any constraints about the real world. And that's when they really feel like they're in virtual reality. And that's when you really can get lost in virtual reality.
And so how do you deal with a safety component there? If you're in the Rift, do you not notice how close to a wall you are? And, you know, if you're freely roaming around, how do you prevent people from running into a wall?
We have a number of different pieces of technology we're working on to make that happen. Some things that actually come up inside the virtual world that tell you where you're going, and a number of things I actually can't talk about. So.
Okay. Cool. So it sounds like you were a part of this really magical time at the USC with the Project Holodeck. Maybe you could just sort of describe to me what was the scene and what was happening there.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple to describe it. I was in the MFA program at USC, and I was working, got a job at a lab there doing some Kinect research. And one of the researchers I was working with was just a guy named Palmer Luckey. And he's just, every time he entered the room, he was the most brilliant guy in the room. And Palmer really taught me everything I know about head-mounted displays. I could see from some of the work he did there, and I know he did a lot of work on his own, that he was building what eventually would become, you know, the future of virtual reality. And he was, I didn't know at the time, he was the world's essentially foremost expert on head-mounted displays. And he owned like 50 head-mounted displays or something like that, you know, 50 different types. So really, it was from there, meeting Palmer, meeting James Iliff, who is now the chief creative at Servios. Really, it was kind of those formative years where I discovered that you could have motion tracking technology and really great feedback system like the Oculus Rift or the socket head-mounted display that we used before that. You combine those two, and there's the possibility of creating something that's wholly unique. And really, at the end of the day, we just wanted to make that. We wanted to take virtual reality and make games with it. That was really the most important thing was, wow, this we have this amazing medium, and all we've seen is just this kind of programmer art-based, you know, research applications. What if I could kill zombies, right? What would that feel like? And it turned out it felt awesome.
Well, yeah, there's also the Ben Kuchera article, I'm sure you've seen it, where he's like, oh, I'm really tired of playing games where you're shooting zombies in the face. And so I think there is a little bit of a backlash in terms of, you know, in VR, is shooting zombies in the face really the first thing that you decide to do?
Well, you don't have to just shoot zombies in the face. You can shoot them in the leg, the arm, the chest. You can really shoot zombies anywhere. That's, you know, the full range of activities in VR, you know, is... No, I think at the end of the day, I mean, there's a few reasons. There's a reason why games and guns have always been linked is because guns are easy to program. They're easy to make them have really, really good feedback. That's why some of the earliest games have been Wolfenstein. They've been Doom. It's easier to produce than other things, and it's more effective than other things. And then zombies are basically... Part of that is James and his kind of creative vision for this kind of beautiful, awesome, like 1950s zombie world, and that kind of harkens back to some of our roots in Hollywood. But also, zombies are just, they're kind of an easy note to play that's, once again, very, very effective. So we wanted to, you know, get to something that was very effective quickly, as opposed to trying to, you know, you don't want to innovate doing virtual reality as well as innovate too much in all the other areas. You know, it's something that we wanted to see. It's also our lead developer, Alex Silkin, just really wanted to produce that type of game as well. So it really is, you know, what we would like to see, what was easy to produce, that was what led us to producing Zombies, as well as some of the other titles that we made.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense, especially when you don't want to be innovating at too many levels at the same time. And I'm curious if you did happen to read that article from Ben Kuchera, and he's making the point, if you could go anywhere in the world and do anything, would going around with a gun killing people be the first thing you decided to do?
Well, yeah, and it's, once again, I haven't read the article, but it's easy to implement that. There's a classic example of something that everyone wants to do, which is go to the beach. That's actually very, very hard to implement correctly in virtual reality, because you can have the audio and video of going to the beach, but really the things that make the beach matter, the warmth of the sand, digging your toes into it, building a sand castle, going in the water, all these things are primarily based on very complex haptic systems. So you can't go to the beach in virtual reality. You really can. You can kind of go to the beach. The thing with zombies is that you can create a system that lets you get hurt and simulates dying. Yeah, there's systems for decapitating a zombie. It's all very, very juicy and very reactive. So that's why that's the first thing to produce, because it's that effective. Is that where you want to go in real life? Well, no, but zombies aren't real. So that's actually where I want to go in a fantasy. That is a fantasy of mine. So if he's tired of it, I mean, that's fine for him. But, you know, that or being in like a John Woo movie, or, you know, all of those action-oriented things, having a lightsaber battle with someone, I mean, those are the first things that come to mind, not because we want to go do those things in real life, but because those are our fantasies. Those are kind of our action-filled fantasies that make us feel like we're, you know, an action hero in a movie. So that's kind of why our system was developed that way, and that's why a lot of VR games tend toward that initially. A lot of first-person shooters as well, and a lot of video games in general. That's why Call of Duty is so popular.
I see. Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah, and I'm curious also, Nani de la Peña is someone also is sort of involved in that sphere, I guess, of that lab. Maybe talk about, you know, your interactions with her and some of the stuff that she was doing.
Yeah, well, I've known Nani for a while. She's the, you know, one of the world's foremost experts in immersive journalism. She created a Hunger in LA, which is a really cool immersive journalism piece. And she's just one of the people that started using virtual reality and really complex virtual reality systems like the phase space system and some of the head-mounted displays built at the MXR lab, using those systems for something other than research, using them for, you know, something that had some really emotional appeal. And so she was able to find some really good use cases for it. And it, once again, it's just another reason why companies like Oculus and Sixth Sense and Servios, why we want to push the medium forward to make it easier for people to actually build that content. Because, you know, it took her hours to set up and tear down that system to give people that experience. That should be something that the setup and tear down should take 5 seconds. You know, it should be like turning on a cell phone. So I think she's just, you know, if she found another avenue that wasn't shooting zombies in the face, that was very emotionally effective.
Yeah, and I think one point in talking to her that she made was that, you know, she foresees virtual reality kind of coming into this tiered system, with one tier being mobile, the next tier being PC-based, and then the final tier, she said, is sort of like a whole VR room of just roaming around and having more of the IMAX theater. Maybe you go to a location external to yourself to just have a more fully immersive. I'm just curious in terms of how you see that tiered system playing out.
Well, those tiers are primarily based on the computing systems that exist in society, where you have your mobile system that you carry around, and then you have your desktop, you know, call it a tethered system, I guess, that requires a lot more power but is a lot more powerful. Then you have your super powerful system, which is an IMAX theater that allows you to do something in the same space as other people, and it's much more powerful than your computer if you ever look at the servers that they have running at a movie theater. And that tiered system, it's an interesting idea. That's based primarily on the idea of virtual reality plugging into existing computing systems. I personally think that the best virtual reality will be designed and the computing system will be designed and tailored for the virtual reality experience. So it's not about, you know, we're not focused, at least ourselves, on plugging into the computing system that people already have. We're focused on what will the future be and trying to make something that doesn't work based on existing paradigms.
So you're moving way beyond, like, say, cloud computing, or what do you mean like that?
Computing systems today, even though they're so ubiquitous, it's hard to describe, but we basically want to make sure that we're not limited by that, that we're going to create, you know, an experience for a user that's really, really special, and that, you know, we like to take a little bit more of a whole cloth approach, I guess. We like to start from scratch and really ask ourselves, not what's the best way to get this out to people, but what's the best way to make the best experience.
I see. And finally, what do you see as the ultimate potential for virtual reality?
I think virtual reality will let you not only get up and run around outside, but you're actually still inside. It'll actually let you not only go back in time, but like feel, it'll let you feel human again. It'll let you feel kind of what people have been feeling throughout time. It'll let you run around and jump and hunt and play sports and really gaming and doing things that involve, you know, playing games with other humans. That's what human beings have been doing for thousands of years. Humans have been playing games longer than they've been using language. And games are very, very fundamental. And games with your body are very, very fundamental. And virtual reality will let us get back to that fundamental humanity that oftentimes in our society with our cars and our sitting down and drinking coffee and, you know, we don't carve out a portion of our lives to get back to our fundamental humanity, which is running around playing games with each other. And so this really allows us to do that and then to explore completely different worlds and essentially allows us to do that plus explore the depths of the human mind and human creativity. So it's really going to be a combination of those two things that makes virtual reality more impactful than literally anything else you can do.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.